So we're all talking about the fiscal cliff and, you know, whether or not we're going to go over it. If we go over it, will it be better for the Democrats? Will it be better for the Republicans? Is there a mindset on the Republican part because of their constituents who tend to be wealthier than others, Paul Tonko? Give us a little tour through this.
Sure. I think the one area that I hope we agree on is that the middle class America community deserves to have their tax cut continue. Not only is that, I think, a socially and economically just outcome because the middle class has taken it on the chin, but right now in this recovery exercise where you've seen 32 or so consecutive months of private sector job growth, you want to keep that trend going, if not strengthen it. And the way you strengthen it is by empowering the middle class with this tax cut continuing, which enhances the purchasing power. And so there's this aggregate demand for goods and services that grows orders for businesses. And that's what it's about, bolstering the confidence factor in America's economy. By the way, when you contrast our comeback here with other national economies, we're doing relatively well. Relatively well, but there's a long way to go. Lost 8.2 million jobs, have well over 5 million restored in the private sector. Long way to go, but moving in the right direction. So I would hope that that common factor, which is 98% of the American public and 97% of small businesses, if we could support that and move forward, it would be great. But I think there are those who assume that, look, we don't have the White House and probably won't get it with the demographic trends of today. And we lost in a year when we were supposed to make gains. We lost miserably in the United States Senate. So what we do have is the House of Representatives. And the way to keep that strong is to fan the base. And so we'll fan the base and continue politics as usual, when in fact, I believe the public was dictating through all of its choices, from White House to U.S. Senate to House of Representatives, that we want production here, we want consensus to be built and derived, and we want fairness restored to the tax policy of this country. And if we didn't heed that advice, I think we're going to pay a price as a party. And so I think that the right thing to do here is to initiate a bold and balanced approach. You know, for folks to say we're not raising anyone's taxes, we cannot afford, in my opinion, to continue a tax cut for the top 1% or 2%. Why? Because the trickle-down never occurred. It becomes very obvious that you need to give the money to those who will spend that savings you offer them. And if they banked, perhaps in foreign banks, that savings, and we got no benefit, well, let's learn from that. Conversely, with the middle class, the savings they realize, either $6,000 on average as a family or $2,200 on average as an individual, those dollars, I believe, get recirculated into the regional economy, the state economy, across this country, and therefore the national economy is bolstered.
So, Paul, I notice you brought your crystal ball with you, put it on the table, shine it up, and then tell us what's going to happen.
I would hope we could arrive at consensus before the end of the year, because at the calendar year end, tax rates will all go up. The Bush era tax cuts are done. They sunset. I would hope we could arrive at a consensus. I'm sensing, however, that there's resistance to that consensus, that there's this belief that we can, you know, still respond to our base and perhaps
You're
even
talking about the Republicans now.
Right.
Yeah.
And perhaps even living in the recent past where you still felt President Obama was not going to win re-election. And I think some people haven't even absorbed that.
Doesn't this sort of remind you of a two-year-old being sent to his room and stamping his feet on the floor and saying, I'm not listening.
Those are the terrible twos.
Yes. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Well, you know, isn't this counterproductive? Let's assume for a second we go over the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins? Who loses?
Well, going over the cliff, it depends on how quickly we respond to that fall over the cliff.
Yeah, yeah.
We would need to, I think, very quickly initiate tax cuts for the middle class. Otherwise, it's going to disrupt the comeback from the recession.
Well, will the Republicans go along with that?
I think if there's a tax cut that's presented as a bill out there, they're going to look pretty. They're going to have to comply. It's their way to comply with Grover Norquist. They will lower taxes.
But there are some people who are leaving Grover. We know this right now, and some outstanding Republicans, but they have a little rule there about the caucus. You know, the caucus has to vote yes in order to get the bill on the floor.
Right.
And like that.
Right. I think that while some may walk away from it, others will perhaps take note, because I'm certain there will be that crowd that supports the pledge that will begin to circulate the names for primaries. Uh-huh. And start putting people on notice. This is like,
pretty much
this
like
is a paralysis.
State Senate here on the gay thing, and we saw some people who were inviolable go down. Right?
Yeah, or perhaps going down
as we
continue to count.
Yeah.
It's rather interesting, because it's this paralysis that's introduced now by, again, extreme thinking that becomes the tail wagging the dog.
Mm.
And it denies, I think, what a great majority, bipartisan majority, thinks in the House of Representatives. And it structures itself in a way that denies that progressive order of policy being developed, which continues to grow the economy, and instead rules by this political whim that, again, is very far-right thinking in its mindset.
So it was neat footwork there, Paul, but what happens?
Oh, what happens? I think I would hope that we arrive at consensus, but of late there is no counter offer being presented. It's rhetoric to the press, but the president, I believe, has offered a very good balance with $1.6 trillion for revenues, $400 billion for belt tightening and cuts that they believe they can do without impacting those who realize the benefits, and a small order investment in job creation. And I think that balance is out there as an approach, and we're waiting to see the numbers. I mean, the president, to his credit, has been very specific and very academic about his solution, his response. We need that same order of arithmetic from the consent crowd or the dissent crowd, and, you know, come up with numbers. Don't just say the president doesn't get it, or, you know, this is no deal, or we're not getting anywhere. Show us where you want it to go.
Yeah, no, we heard that already, but what happens?
What happens, if we hit the fiscal cliff, if we don't come to consensus, we hit that fiscal cliff, and very short order business has to take hold at the turn of the year, so as to provide, in my opinion, the relief that's required and deserved for the middle class.
Who gets blamed? The Republicans or the Democrats? If, as you say, we hit the cliff, we only have
well,
a couple
if we
seconds.
Look at polling right now, I think the mm-hmm. Republican Party would get blamed. But I don't know if they're seeing this clearly, because there's still this resistance to the president coming back, and people are still theorizing.
Okay.
I'm trying to take the numbers and have them say something else.
We'll pick it up, Paul Tonko. We always thank you for coming in and giving us the best of your thinking, which is always great. And when we come back the next time, I'm just going to start asking you some tough questions about Social Security, okay?
Thank you.